Amen. And so if you would like to read the scripture along with me this morning, I am coming from Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. And I'm using the NIV this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Now Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, then he said to us, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. This is the word of the Lord for us, God's people. Amen. And today we are talking about harvest season. Harvest season. And as we consider harvest season and what season it is, we also want to remember who we are. So please repeat after me. We are spiritual beings who are one with Christ. And y'all, we have to know whose. Somebody say whose. Whose we are, so we can remember who we are. Remember who we are. Remember who you are. So this time of the year is generally considered harvest time. Or harvest season. How many people remember the gardens? Do y'all remember gardens? Oh, Brandon, you probably don't remember a garden. You could. Do you remember a garden, young man Noah? Y'all, we used to have gardens. What's your son's name? Jakari. So you know about harvest season, don't you, Jakari? Praise God, sir. The botanical gardens, that's right. There are gardens all around. And I remember back in the day before everything got popular and before we had drive-thrus and restaurants, if you didn't grow it or kill it, you didn't get to eat it, did you? So this is the time of year where crops are cut and they're collected from the fields, or it's the activity of collecting and cutting crops. Harvest also refers to the gathering of crops as a spiritual significance, which Jesus is talking about in Matthew. And it is used metaphorically to represent various aspects of faith, but mostly a gathering in of God's people. And Jesus also referred to God as the Lord of the harvest. Who's the Lord of our harvest? Our Father is. And though this is an agricultural term as it refers to crops and symbolism reminds us of food and gathering and harvesting, it also reminds us of the promise of Israel, and not just Israel, but for those believers who we are. Amen? And so there's coming a harvest time for us, and that time could be considered now. Amen? Amen. So the word harvest appears in the Bible over 80 times. And the word in Hebrew is katsir. Say the Hebrew word for me. Somebody say katsir. Katsir. The Greek word for harvest is Verismos. Ooh, put a little flair with it. Verismos. Verismos. Almost like saying thermos, but not. But that means the harvesting and the gathering of God's people into the kingdom of God. Amen. And so a multitude of people also refers to a multitude of people being taught how to obtain salvation in Christ Jesus. We used to call them revivals, y'all. Harvest time revival. Y'all remember the fall revivals? And it came right whenever the harvest was coming in. And that harvest was also for harvesting souls for the kingdom. And also to remind us who we are and the need of the kingdom. And so harvest tells us, or we are told in Genesis about harvest, Genesis 8:22, that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will not cease. In other words, it does not matter what time of the year it is, it's always harvest time. Somebody say it's always harvest time. That's right, seed time and harvest. You know, you can get some early, things come in early. You get the spring things that whenever you plant them right there at the beginning of the spring, right after Good Friday, then you harvest earlier. And then you have the later harvest this time of year. It just depends on what is planted and when it's planted. Somebody repeat after me. It depends on what is planted and when it is planted. Now, Proverbs 6 tells us about the wise woman, and it says, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. When we're wise, we have to know when to prepare and when to bring it in. Proverbs 10:5 says, he who gathers in the summer is a smart, a wise, a prudent son. But he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. What that means is basically sleep, don't eat. And a person who does not plant cannot reap. And if you can't reap, what you gonna eat? Amen. And John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus tells us, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. And one of my favorite word of scriptures, Galatians 6, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever one plants, that shall he also reap. That shall he also harvest. And there are more than 40 different verses. And if you guys would like to go back and look at this or take a picture of the verses, if you can see them, these are some nice scriptures regarding harvest. That I found on Graceful Chapter, which is a nice website. And a lot of these scriptures on harvest refers to the laws in the Old Testament, but it also tells us about how God harvests and the reaping and the sowing process of the souls, not only for Israel, but for us as well. Amen. So if we are going to be harvesters for Christ, whatever the harvest season may be, how do we become harvesters for Christ? Matthew tells us to pray earnestly, pray fervently to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. If we want to see people come forward, if we want to experience being harvesters, we got to pray. But not only do we pray that we become the harvesters, but other people are harvesting as well. Amen? And Jesus says again, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are ripe for harvest. Can y'all see that in the world today? Many cotton fields, not see many corn fields, or we may not see any cotton fields. We may not see cabbage. We may not see collards, whatever, okra, whatever people may be growing. Peanuts. My granddaddy used to do peanuts and potatoes. This time of year, you got your sweet potatoes. While we may not see the fields, but if we look with those spiritual eyes, we can truly see that in the world today, somebody say it is truly harvest time. And what is it for? Let's look at it at Matthew 9, 35 through 36. It tells us in Matthew that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, i.e. their churches, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Boy, oh boy, wouldn't that be something? Oh, we go to church regularly, y'all. The word of God and the good news of the kingdom is going forth. But wouldn't it be nice if the Holy Spirit come, y'all, and there starts to be a healing of every disease and every sickness? Somebody say, Lord Jesus, come heal every disease and sickness. That's what he did. And guess what? When he saw all of us, when he saw the crowd, he had compassion. He had compassion on us. Because we had been harassed. Harassed means you've been mistreated. Just whatever harassed means, just all kinds of harassment, racial, old age. I don't like saying old age. Increasing in age. Physical limitations, mental limitations. All the ways that we can be harassed emotionally, financially. And he had compassion on us because have you ever felt helpless and felt like a sheep without a shepherd? That means you feel lost. You don't know whether to run in. You don't know whether to come back out. You don't know whether to sit up and stay awake all night or just sleep. Or pray for sleep to come. Somebody say, have you ever felt like a sheep without a shepherd? If you have, just know. And I'm reminding you today that Jesus has compassion on each and every one of us. See, while we may not see the harvest, oh, Jesus is still pulling in the harvest. Amen. Does anybody believe that Jesus is still calling in his harvest? Yes, he is. So if we are going to be harvesting for Christ, y'all know what we got to do? We have to do a self-check first. And what does a self-check look like? We have to ask ourselves, am I a willing worker? Y'all remember back in the day they used to have groups called the Willing Workers? Might have been missionaries, might have been pastor's aid. In the Methodist church, they called Methodist women, Methodist men, deacons, trustees. These were supposed to be the willing workers. Ask yourself, am I a willing worker, Jesus? And what do we see when we look out into the world? Are we seeing what Jesus sees and the things that Jesus would call forth? Are we seeing with eyes of compassion, or are we seeing with eyes of condemnation? And then we get to ask, what kind of worker am I? See, first we have to ask, are we a willing worker? Then after we realize, well, I'm kind of sort of not ready, I kind of want to be, you know, sort of. Am I a willing worker? And if so, what kind of worker am I? Y'all know how the Holy Spirit works. They got to give us an acronym, don't they? So the acronym for worker is, I am a willing, objective, reliable, kind, empowering, ready worker. Somebody say, are you ready? Are you raw? Are you ready, able, and willing? Because that's what our Father needs, isn't it? Jesus said, look, we may see them as outcasts, fringe dwellers, addicts. Y'all know I don't like calling names, but we have names for those people that Jesus called ripe for picking. Do we see those that are ripe for picking with compassion? Now, how can we tell if we are able to be harvesters for the kingdom? Very simple. Very simple. I love it when they keep it simple. You have to ask yourself, what kind of fruit am I harvesting? What kind of fruit am I bearing? That requires that we have to have a scripture reference. Somebody say, we get to go to Galatians. Y'all remember the question I asked y'all that time? Foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Well, we get to go to Galatians and stand firm and say, excuse me, I'm not foolish, I'm fruity. Ask somebody, are you fruity? Yeah, I'm fruity. The fruit of the Spirit is how we can know where we can gauge ourselves as good workers for the kingdom. Somebody say, do you have love, joy, peace, patience? Kindness, Jesus, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Oh, here's another one we don't hear too much about. Gentleness. What is it like to be gentle? Nice. Amen, Noah. And then you have to have some self-control. Y'all knew the flies was going to come out on that one, didn't you? So when we are filled with the fruit, when we are fruity, because see, that means it seeks the highest good for ourselves and others. Because see, I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to realize we can tell how we are harvesting others, not only about how we treat others, but how we allow others to treat us. See, it really is 85 north and south. And what goes east and west? Some other road. 40 going north. So what kind of fruit are we bearing here? Love. I can tell how much I love myself and how much I love God by the way I treat you and how I let you treat me. Joy is that gladness that is not based on circumstances. Oh, they can be cutting up all around you, but you know what? They think you a little strange because you're just walking and smiling and saying, not today. Sometimes you got to smile and walk and say, mm-mm, not today. Because you know what? I have peace. And peace is that contentment. It's beyond satisfaction. Remember, y'all, sometimes we can't get no satisfaction. But Paul said, I learned to be content. I may not be satisfied at all, but you know what? I'm content because I got peace, because I figured out how to go to sleep. Remember? Peace be still. And when those storms starts to raging and that self-control starts to slipping, you might say, got to go to sleep. Because that's how I might be able to get my patience. Everybody has a way to navigate through those times, situations, and places, those events that we usually call negativity, but maybe through kindness and patience and love, we can start calling them opportunities. We don't always have to have a conflict. We don't always have to have adversity. We don't have to always be under an attack. No, no. Since we are harvesters, we realize this is a little bit of time for us to bring in the sheaves. Amen. We got to bring it in sometimes. It's an opportunity. We have to be careful how we label things. So I'm no longer attacked. I get the opportunity to run. Y'all know I'll run. Run to the rock that's higher than I. It's about what we call it. It's our own personal relationship, isn't it? It's kindness. Ooh, no matter what we do. Remember, I've been wise and I've been foolish. And whether I was wise and whether I was foolish, God was always kind. That's your answer to kindness right there. Goodness, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. This is an opportunity, what's up, people, for me to stop this phone. Jesus, I don't know why it's going in the middle of service. Oh, was that my alarm? Was that time for us to have a praise break? Everybody stand up and give Jesus a hand clap of praise. It's an opportunity. That's right. We have the opportunity to know that we are and we have been harvested and we are harvesters for the kingdom. Amen. Everybody, please take your seats. Because we're faithful. You got to do something. That is a lesson in opportunity. What does it look like? How are we going to praise him when we don't know what alarm's going to go off and when? Amen. Somebody say, be faithful. And we've got to be objective and willing and reliable and kind. But it depends on our fruit, y'all. Gentle. Boy, I'm not going to go into any deep stories about the absence of gentleness. But I just want to remind each and every one of us, just remember how gentle God has been. We don't have to necessarily see those times when we weren't gentle. Or others weren't gentle to us. But what about all those times God was gentle? Somebody say, surely goodness and mercy follows us. See, sometimes it's not always following us, but it comes right up to us. And it holds us gently and reminds us with kindness and holds us and brings forth self-control that we did not know we had the capacity to have. Amen. What kind of fruit are we harvesting, y'all? And are we workers who are willing, objective, somebody might say optimistic, because we have to be optimistic to be objective. Can God rely on us? Amen, baby. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Can we be kind? Are we with their spirit and their soul? Are we others? Or are we stripping them of their humanity, their spirit, and their souls? And are we ready? Somebody say, I was born ready. We are born ready. Have we been born again? Have we been born again? Have the blood been shed for us? So what? We born ready. Oh, David might have had a different kind of idea about how he was born, according to Psalm 51. But because of the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, we can be born ready. Yeah, I'm reliable and I'm ready because I know I was harvested and I know who brought me in. Hallelujah. Do y'all know who brought you in? Oh, if you know who brought you in, stand on your feet and give him a hand clap of praise. Yes, we have been harvested. It's harvest season. We got to remember who we are. Amen. Boy, these strange and unusual times are opportunities, y'all, for us to remember we have been harvested. And likewise, we are harvesters. We don't have to have tracks. Brother, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted the Lord in your life? Boy, bye. Ma'am, have you given your life to the Lord? Would you like to take this track? Would you like to take a punch? Are you kidding me? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted minding your own business? See, we don't have to be in people's faces like that all the time. I thought that was what you had to do to be a harvester. But I believe you said spirit fall down. The Holy Spirit will come upon us and realize we got power. Quick story as we stand. Power. Y'all remember a few weeks ago, how many of y'all lost power? We lost electricity, said the Holy Spirit. Busted. Y'all got power. Your power on. Your power come back up. Holy Spirit, I'm so glad you sung about the Holy Spirit this morning. Holy Spirit say you cannot lose power, but you can go without electricity because the same power, somebody say power, that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us, in us. So, brother, you didn't lose your power. You lost electricity. Oh, Blue Ridge and Duke Energy and whatever, Savannah, whatever your power, your energy company is, they broke me down. You lost your power. Is your power on? Your power is always on. But your electricity may flicker. And it may be off for a few days. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit that comes down and reminds us why you may be in the dark. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus, that's why we have to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Yeah. And we have to pray that we are the workers. And we have to be open enough to know what field we are going to be in. What role are we playing in the field? And how do we show up as a harvester? It might just be a smile, y'all. It might just be a hug. It might just be looking in the eyes of a baby. You never know. But it's one thing about it. A harvester must be kind, if nothing else. Amen. Enough time for these soldiers in the army of the Lord. Can we be some harvesters for the kingdom of God? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, ooh, we thank you that you reign. You reign in our lives. You reign in our hearts. You come in and we are able to be your workers because you called us to be. Help us to remember who we are for you. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that reminds us we have the power. We have the power to be the workers that you need in wherever the harvest field may call for us to be. And we ask, Lord God, that we can see the way you saw. Help us to have compassion as you had compassion. Help us to have love as you have loved. And help us remember you need workers. And help us to be willing, objective, and optimistic. Lord, help us to be reliable and kind and empowering. But most of all, help us to be ready. And when we are and we allow the Holy Spirit in your presence to guide us, your sincerity will take us into whatever field we need to be in. And for this, we say thank you. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Now please receive this benediction. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us as good harvesters before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And it is to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. Go forth and be harvesters for the kingdom. Amen.